Welcome to the Sports and Shit podcast presented by Anchor. Your hosts each week are Maddie.
But it burned. For me and her, it burned. There was a burning.
And the multi-talented Smitty.
There's worse ways to go than eating grilled cheese every day and having sex every day.
If you like sports sprinkled in with a little bit of shit, then this podcast is for you. Now, here are your hosts, Maddie and Smitty.
My car is stolen, the registration, cops patrolling, and now they don't stop me and I get locked up, they won't let me down.
Welcome to the Sports and Shit Podcast. It is episode 15 of season 2. You can follow us on Twitter, and we are at Sports and Shit Pod. You can also follow us on Instagram, SportsMitty, and on Facebook as well. Send us an email, sportsandshitpod@gmail.com. I am Maddie, and my co-host is a shareholder in Dogecoin.
Yes,
Smitty.
I am. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you,
you so much. A millionaire in the making.
One can only hope.
Boy, I'll tell you
only
what.
Only hope.
It is on the rise, as they say.
It shot up a little bit, came back down to earth. But
did it come back down to earth?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. But, you know, that's what happens. You buy in the valleys.
You do?
Yeah, buy in the valleys. And then it starts to go up again. So hopefully, with any luck at all, this will approach $1 and then $10 and then $100 and then $1,000.
And then like Bitcoin, $62,000, whatever it is.
If it ever becomes Bitcoin,
oh my Lord,
I will never have to work again.
We will never see you again.
Nope. No, you won't.
Nope.
No, you won't. I will probably own my own island. I will be living on my own island.
Yes. That's when we'll be podcasting every day.
I could do a podcast every day.
Every single day.
From my own island.
We'll just podcast your life.
I'm not sure how the Wi-Fi would be on my own island.
Gives a fuck.
But, I'll be willing to pay for the infrastructure.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. You'll create Wi-Fi in the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Along with many, many boat drinks.
You will.
Yeah.
So you got in at like 4 cents, right?
I got in at 4 cents. I didn't buy a ton of it though. That was my mistake.
Right.
Is I didn't buy a lot of it. I bought a decent amount, but I didn't buy a lot. Like I didn't put like hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars into it like the people that know.
The heavy hitters.
Yeah, that know what they're doing. Like right. I'm just a regular schlub.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So I put a little bit in and then it started to do a little bit better. So I put a little more in. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see
I mean, Mark Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks, they're accepting Dogecoin as a form of payment for
they are.
Season tickets.
They are. And Elon Musk has talked about, I think they accept Bitcoin now for Teslas.
Wow.
But they're talking about maybe having Dogecoin be maybe a form of payment.
Wow. That type of shit happens and then it's going to get real.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Pierce was tweeting, and like some big time people have tweeted about it, and you know, keep doing it.
Yeah, that'll boy.
Okay, keep doing it.
Oh, excellent. But until then, we'll podcast.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. What the hell?
Yeah,
we will podcast, and you have a part time job at our sponsor, Lops Brewery. Yeah.
You know, I just hop behind the bar every now and again.
Yeah, a cocktail.
Yeah.
You know, a little Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm kind of like
Coyote Ugly.
What, like. Kevin Millar and the Red Sox guys.
Yeah,
like
Derek Lowe.
Yeah, I'll just like...
Baseball Tavern.
Right. Yeah. I'll just, you know, on a random fucking Tuesday, I'll just jump behind the bar and throw a few beers around.
You walk in like Norm at Cheers and Smitty! And then you walk in and jump over the bar and pour some beer for the folk. You do. Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, it is time for the news again this week. And the news, as always, is sponsored by our good buddy, Sean LaPolito. And Lops Brewing, a brewery and tasting room in downtown Woonsocket, Rhode Island, specializing in small batch ales and lagers. It's open 7 days a week. There's live music every
Sunday.
Sunday at 2. Use coupon code SPORTS to get 10% off your online order. Visit lopsbrewing.com and follow at Lops Brewing for new beers and events. So that's live music every Sunday at Lops Brewery. And we were there tonight.
Yeah.
Again.
Because why not?
I mean, honestly, you haven't hit it big with Dogecoin yet, so.
Yeah.
Might as well drink all the beers.
So that's what we do.
That's what we do.
Sure.
And the news is brought to you by Lops Brewing. Do you know how the giant sea cucumber uses its anus?
Do you?
As a second mouth. Wait,
what?
Yeah.
No, wait. Yeah. So the giant sea cucumber is a living thing?
Is a living thing.
That's not like a vegetable?
What is a giant sea cucumber? What is that? Is that an actual sea urchin? Sea thing? Is that?
What? So it probably looks, I'm assuming, like a cucumber. Right. So what is that? That's like a big wormish looking thing,
right? It has to be big, thick worm thing. Right. Big, that's what she said.
A big, thick worm.
If you had the capability to use your anus as a second mouth, would you take on that opportunity?
No.
Okay.
I don't think I would. Okay. I don't think I would.
I don't think so either.
Would you have taste buds in your anus?
You would have to, right? Because that's you're using it as a second mouth. Like, why would you need a second mouth? Would you use your anus as it?
That's a solid question.
I mean, do you want to get all the food in your mouth? Do you stick it in your anus? Flavorful? Satisfying?
Can't you just chew and then put it in your real mouth again? Like, why can't you just wait, like, 3 or 4 seconds until you finish chewing and then use your regular mouth?
We're such a society right now where we just want everything now that we need to use our anus as a second mouth. And it's really depressing.
Everything just moves so quickly.
And it does. It does. I mean, you're behind the times if you're not using your anus as a second mouth. Anywho, let's go to the world of sports.
I mean, there's really no way to segue from anus as a second mouth to really anything.
To anything at all.
No.
Other than
porn.
If you could only own jerseys in one sport.
Ooh.
Authentic jerseys in one sport. Which sport would you choose? I'll tell you what I wouldn't choose. Basketball. I don't look in a muscle tank top thing. Whatever. Seriously. Pharma tan.
Honestly, and I'm being 100% honest.
Okay.
I have never in my life worn tank tops other than when I've played basketball for a high school or whatever, you know, YBA youth sports team.
I both.
I have never in my life worn a tank top any other reason.
Me neither. Because I look horrific in a tank top.
Yeah. I don't have any muscles.
No.
I don't have anything to show off. I don't have a tan. I've never had a tan. You look at me in a tank top and you're like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, see,
why would you do that?
I look terrible in a tank top. I got the farmer tan, no muscles. I got the, you know, the hair on top of the shoulders. I'm just terrible all the way around.
Yeah.
Tank top. So I would, you know what? I think I would go hockey jersey because I think hockey jerseys are the sharpest. The only thing about them is that they're real big.
They are.
So when you go out and about, you're like wearing a big hockey jersey. You can kind of look a little foolish. I do like the baseball jerseys. You know, football jersey. I used to have a Ted Johnson football jersey for the Patriots.
I have some Patriots jerseys. I have a Ty Law and a Tom Brady. I have a Bruins. It's actually a blank. Got from my father-in-law.
Yeah.
That's nice. A black one. Yeah. Like an old school 80s version. Nice.
I know what you would like is a powder blue Ozzie Smith Cardinals jersey.
Yes. So when I hit Dogecoin big.
Okay.
Okay. My man cave is going to be all Smith-related jerseys, because that's my last name, in case you didn't know.
Right.
All Smith-related jerseys hanging in the man cave. So I'm going Ozzie Smith, powder blue. I'm going Billy Smith. I'm going Emmett Smith.
Yeah.
I'm going Riley Smith. I'm going Craig Smith. I'm going all Smith. It's going to be a Smith man cave.
Yeah. That would be sweet.
I would love the hell out of that.
I can't do much with Barry.
But that Ozzie, Rick Barry.
Rick Barry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, it has to be up on the wall because I don't wear tank tops.
Right.
But Rick Barry,
yeah.
Drew Barry,
yeah.
John Barry.
the entire Barry
family.
Yeah. That Ozzie Smith powder blue Cardinals, I love the hell out of that thing. Mm. So if anybody wants to buy that for me,
absolutely.
You know, go on ahead.
Now, another question. If you could choose any player from another NFL team for your own team, who would you choose?
Patrick Mahomes.
It 100% is. Because the Patriots need a quarterback more than anything else, and he's the best quarterback. So you would just take him. Man, I don't know how you would take anybody else, really.
Even if, say, you were a fan of the Green Bay Packers and you have Aaron Rodgers right now, wouldn't you still take Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, of course you would.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Or would you? Are you blowing smoke up Aaron Rodgers' ass and you'd be like, oh, no, I want Aaron Donald or somebody?
In a short period of time, he's been to AFC championships and Super Bowls, MVP,
he's younger than, so you have him, you have him
forever
for a longer, much right. longer time than right. you would have Rodgers for.
Absolutely.
So I don't know why anybody, any fan of any NFL team wouldn't pick Mahomes.
You'd have to. I don't know. I don't know which one you would take other than him. So this is from Barstool. An absolute weirdo has been locked in a shed on live stream for 100 days and says he'll do it for 10 years for the low, low cost of $10 million on live stream. Locked in a shed for 100 days.
He would lock himself in a shed for 10 years.
10 years.
For $10
million. $10 million. Okay, here's a question. I get it. So 10 years, it's a long time. So when he comes out, he gets $10 million bucks. And this guy looks relatively young. So you figure he's probably going to be 40-ish when he gets out with $10 million bucks. But 10 years locked in a shed? Wouldn't you go mental?
Absolutely.
Isn't that something? I mean, that's a real thing. Like, you would go mental.
Didn't we talk about this, though? Because there was the whole thing about prison and, like...
Turkish prison?
No. But it was a question about... If you could win, like, it was like $100 million.
Right. 10 years in prison or $10 million, something like this.
Yeah, it was similar to this.
It was actually probably the same.
I think it was,
really.
But I think it was like a roulette spin.
Right.
Like if you hit it, right. you win $100 million.
Right. Would you take the spin?
If you lose, you get 10 years in prison. Would you take the spin?
That's what it was. And yeah. we both said we'd
take the spin. Yeah,
you take the spin yeah. every day. It was $100 million, I think.
Yeah, $100 million.
It was a lot of money.
The $10 million for... 10 years in a shed, I don't know,
because you don't have a choice. Like, there's no spin. Like, you have to take the 10 years in the shed.
So, I'm not sure I'm doing it.
No, I don't know. I mean, that's, I don't know what I'll be like 10 years later coming out of the shed.
I'm waiting for the Dogecoin.
Right, that's a better bet. 10 years of Dogecoin might get you 10 mil.
Fingers crossed. 10 grand.
Right. So, the Busch Beer Company, is looking to pay a pup $20,000 to taste test dog brew. Brewing company announced Tuesday that they are looking to pay a pup $20,000 to taste test their dog brew, an alcohol-free bone broth brew. Wow.
Oh, it's alcohol-free?
It's alcohol-free. Well, it's for dogs.
Well, that's what I was right. That's what I was saying. I was
yeah,
like, why
bone would... broth? Really?
I mean, I guess wow. dogs like that shit, right?
I mean, 20 grand? 20 grand for bone
See,
broth
I was
going
to say, I don't know if I would let my dog drink. I mean, I don't have a dog, but I don't know if I would let him drink. I mean,
no,
dogs
no,
are
no,
already no. kind of
yeah.
mental.
Yeah, they are. They are.
I mean, depending on the dog, I guess. I mean, they're kind of mental.
This
so
is,
like,
this is alcohol free, and you're giving him bone broth brew. What's the big deal? I mean, yeah. I mean, I do it if you're just giving him something that would typically. It's not alcoholic. Something that typically probably it's bone broth. They eat bones. Why not give him the 20 grand? I'd sign him up.
Sure.
Christ.
I mean, when I first heard this, I thought it was beer because I thought you right. know it was Busch. So I
right.
thought they were giving like some kind of alcoholic dog beer. And then I'm like, no, I wouldn't give my dog alcoholic dog beer.
No.
But it's just bone broth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Bone broth.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I mean, the dog's not taking the 20 grand. I am.
That's right. That's right. The 20. Yeah. Because he's not spending the money.
No.
Nor would he know there'd be money involved.
No. Yeah. He's just looking for the bone broth.
So you're getting 20 grand from.
Yeah,
yeah, I'd send them right up to the front of the line. So Major League Baseball is experimenting with their independent partner, the Atlantic League. They're experimenting by moving the mound back a foot and having a hybrid DH rule. So the Atlantic League is moving the mound back a foot in an attempt to lessen strikeouts and increase balls in play. Change will go into effect during the second half of the Atlantic League season. It's the independent league. It seems have no affiliation with MLB.
I hate this. I hate this idea.
I mean, look, I am mostly a purist when it comes to baseball. I think that baseball's problems are much less about pace of play and much more about how the game is played. When they don't change how the game is played and then try to come up with ideas to change the pace of play, to speed it up, that's the wrong way to approach it. You need to get back to playing the game the way it was meant to be played. And that's having the pitcher pitch 7-8 innings, extend them out, less pitching changes, less mound visits, less all that crap, and then have them pitch the game because the great pitchers pitch the game in 220, 230. Like, you don't have an issue. Now it's so many pitching changes. You don't have a lot of strategy. guys are taking, you know, walks and not afraid to strike out. Striking out used to be a friggin', used to be the walk of shame.
Yeah, now it's
no one cares.
No, there's no, the ball's not put in play.
No, and that's enough. The issue.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
I mean, we'll probably hit on this a little bit later on, but the Red Sox, their little winning streak here, they've been kind of anti the way the game has been played recently. Yes. With strikeouts and launch angle or whatever. They haven't hit a ton of home runs. They've hit some, but, you know, their key hits, like Verdugo the other day, hit the ball the other way.
Yeah.
You know, they've had a couple of big hits, opposite field hits. They're putting the ball in play and making the defense field the ball. And they haven't been striking out a ton. You know, that's kind of what you want.
It is. It's what you want. And Dennis Eckersley said this today during the game. He said, it used to be something when you struck out 10. Like he said, if I struck out 10 guys, 10 punch outs, it was like a great thing. Now guys are striking out 10 in like 5 innings.
Right.
You know, because they're throwing everything they have at it because they know they're only going 5 innings. So they're gassing it up. And guys are just swinging from their ass. So there's more strikeouts. I just think the way the game is played is the issue.
I agree.
And I think that changing other shit and not going to the issue is a problem. Is a problem. And you tinker with this and tinker with that and move the mound back. And baseball is the most hypocritical sport because they've created this. Just like they created the steroids. Just like they created banging the trash cans. They created everything. And then they come out and say, every single time they come out and try to change it or try to come up with some cockamamie, you know, we're going to fix it thing, when they created it in the first place. It's hypocritical. It's just, to me, they're speaking out of both sides of their mouths. It's baseball made all the problems. They've made every single problem that's ever entered the game has been Major League Baseball's problem that they've created themselves. So that's what really pisses me off about the whole thing is now we're going to crack down on banging the trash can and we're going to crack down on stealing signs and the purity of the game when they allowed it all to happen. And that's what really pisses me off about it. And now they're going to try to make certain changes to the game when really what the problem is they've taken analytics and they've completely destroyed the game through their stupid analytics.
Yeah, all like moving the mound and stuff like that, like
it's unnecessary.
It is. Like other sports have evolved and there's been rule changes, but you know, that's fine. It evolves as you go. And baseball's been very, 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 very slow to evolve.
It has.
More than any of the other sports.
Sure it has.
And the problem with them now trying to jam all this stuff in at the same time, but it's not stuff that keeps the game the way that it's always been.
No.
Like hockey and basket, like those sports are still the same as it's always been.
They are.
You know, they're not moving the goalposts.
No.
You know what
they're
I mean?
Not like, making it the basketball 10. Yeah, the basketball still is 10 feet.
Yeah, they're not changing the size of the net. Don't move the mound.
Right.
Like you can put it up or down. Like they raised the mound or lowered the mound before. Do that. Don't move it back just because people are striking out more. Like, tell them to fucking stop swinging from their ass with 2 strikes.
Right.
And choke up on the bat and put the fucking ball in play.
Yeah, I agree. Hockey took out the center ice red line, and that was the best thing they ever did, the 2-line pass. I mean, that's a great change they made. But that's a necessary change that changed the game, but didn't really, wasn't outside of the box change. It was something that really was a rule that needed to be changed to evolve the game. And it did. And now it's a much, much better off for
it. And honestly, this runner on second, like, I don't mind that in extra innings.
I don't mind it.
That'll speed the game up. Right. And it actually makes people play real baseball.
Real baseball. It creates strategy.
Because you have a runner on second. You know, are they going to bunt him over? Are you going to hit the ball to the right side of the infield to move the guy over? You know,
right.
Then you hit a sack fly. Do people, you know, play infield in? Like, there's all kinds of...
If you put a guy on second and say Mookie Betts is coming up to lead off the inning, do you put him on first?
Right, exactly. I
mean, do you give him an intentional walk and then pitch to the next guy?
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of things get created there.
Yeah, there's all kinds of strategy because you could do that and set up the double play, then, you know.
Right. I totally agree. I just think that baseball has its issues. Most of them have been self-inflicted. And I think that some of the changes that they make are are a little off base and a little bit of a stretch that change, you know, sort of the way the game is played in a way that's too far-fetched. So did you see this? The former Bachelor, Colton Underwood, came out as gay the other day. So he was on Bachelor a while back.
I did watch it a little bit. My wife used to watch it pretty religiously, but doesn't really anymore. I've watched probably a few seasons worth of that, but I don't believe I watched when he was on.
And I really don't think that there have been more than a couple of couples who have even survived over all the seasons of Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Yeah, there's been
a very small percentage.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been, like, between the two, Bachelor and Bachelorette, I think there's been like 40 seasons worth.
And there's only been two or three.
Yeah, I think I actually watched one of them. One of the seasons was like a blonde girl and a firefighter.
Yes. That was a fireman, wasn't it?
Yeah, firefighter. Yeah,
firefighter.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You mean a fireman? Yeah. Right.
But they don't like to be called firemen.
No, they don't. They want to be called firefighters.
Correct.
Because they fight fires.
Right.
Massachusetts drivers are the second best in the country, a study says.
Yeah, I mean, we knew the shit all along.
Yeah, I mean, they're the second best drivers.
Yeah, all these people saying assholes don't know how to drive. How about this? Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, they're the second best drivers.
Second best drivers in the country, according to some website.
Yeah.
Either that or Matt just made it up off the top of his head.
You're right. So they are the second.
He just saw a random tweet from one of his buddies. we just decided to make it news.
Yeah. Hey, Chrissy Teigen's back on Twitter.
I'm not surprised.
No. I mean, she thought it was terrible and it was just awful and she had to leave Twitter. It was the worst.
Toxic. Yeah.
Toxic. It was a month, maybe.
Was it a month?
It wasn't even a month, I don't think.
3 weeks.
She's back on. It was terrible being off the platform because you know why? There's no attention given to her.
Right.
So she had to come back.
Yeah. I kind of agree with her, though. Of all the social medias, I'm on Twitter the most, for sure.
You are. And I am, too. I get my sports news there. I get a ton of stuff on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm on there much more than others.
100%.
Yeah.
Twitter is my go-to for the socials.
So you know that there's the smallest reptile in the world is out there right now?
The smallest reptile?
Smallest reptile in the natural-born world has been found, I suppose. It's like they're really the size of like your fingertip. Yeah, it's a chameleon.
In Madagascar, it's been discovered, and it measures just a half an inch long from his nose to the base of his tail. The species is named Brookesia.
Okay.
And it is the smallest adult reptile ever found.
Yeah, it was found in Madagascar.
Yeah, that's a kid's movie.
Madagascar. Yeah, Madagascar.
And it's called a Caribbean gecko.
Oh, like the insurance company? Gecko?
Yeah.
I don't like those commercials at all.
Commercials are terrible.
I mean, they're so bad. Who's the little reptile guy, that British accent?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure he has a name.
Sucks. Yeah, he sucks.
He sucks. Just whatever his name
Screw
is.
Him. Yeah, so that has been found, the smallest reptile in the natural-born world.
How about this guy?
Okay.
The New York Post reports that a man accidentally got one Moderna vaccine and one Pfizer vaccine.
That's really odd, because you would think that you have the card. See, I went in for my second vaccine on Friday, and I did the Pfizer. So the first time I had the Pfizer, you have your card. Blatantly says Pfizer on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring it to them and you say, okay, I'm here for my second Pfizer shot. You would think they'd give you the Pfizer the second time.
You'd think so. This is a New Hampshire man, and he accidentally received the Pfizer jab despite his first dose being from Moderna. And despite the unfortunate mishap, officials say that he will be fine.
What would happen in that case? Does that still work? How does that even work?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that works at all.
So you get Moderna and then you get Pfizer? I didn't have any after effects on the second one or the first one. I wonder if this guy will have some after effects or if that even works.
So he said, the guy said to him, "You ready for a poke?"
Wink,
I said, sure. And he poked me. And then As soon as he poked me, he looked down at my card, and I think he realized he just gave me Pfizer.
Wow. I don't know how that happens.
And I looked at him, and I said, you did not just give me the wrong shot. And he said, the guy ran away.
he ran like the wind.
He panicked, and he ran. Can you imagine?
Ran. Yeah.
Can you imagine getting your shot, and then the guy just being like, see ya.
Oh, shit. What do? I run. Run like the wind. Yeah. That's like, it reminds me of like a cartoon where the guy just runs and there's dust behind him. Gone.
The road runner.
Yeah. Like Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
Just gone.
That's something. That's something else.
Isn't that something? Like, how does that even happen? I don't know.
But I guess he'll be fine.
I guess so.
We'll see.
Boy, I hope so. I could get the second vaccine and it worked. Seemed to work just fine.
Worked wonders.
Yeah. I've had the COVID and now I've been double vaccinated. I am Iron Man.
As far as I know, I have not had the COVID and have not been vaccinated because here in Massachusetts, they don't give a shit.
It's a little ass backwards, is it?
About me at all.
No, they don't.
I'm still pre-registered. They sent me another text and another email.
Did they?
And said that when it's your turn, we'll let you know. But listen, Monday, it's everybody's fucking turn.
Oh,
everybody's eligible on Monday.
Okay.
So the whole pre-registering thing, unless they send me something fucking tomorrow, or Sunday, nothing. Doesn't matter.
Didn't matter that you pre-registered at
no.
all.
No.
It didn't.
No.
No, it didn't.
Not one fucking bit.
In Maine, it was April 7th that everybody was eligible. So now I did see a much bigger crowd on the second shot because I was able to get the first shot before the April 7th. So I was an educator, quote unquote. So the second time, there was a little bit more of a line. But it was a pretty well-oiled machine there at Portland Expo in Portland, Maine. So there you have it. The news, it is brought to you by Lops Brewing. We are going to come back and talk some Boston sports.
Yeah, we're just gonna travel around to all the teams.
Around the region.
Around the horn. Around the.
That's Canadian for penis.
So we're going to travel around the penis to all the different sports teams.
4 inches around.
maybe some athletic supporters. Maybe some jock straps.
Right.
We'll travel all
some
around. So, do you remember the Office episode where Michael Scott has his seventh grade cup on?
Yes.
And he asked Jim to punch him in the balls. And Jim said, no, I'm not doing that at all. And then he says to Dwight, you know, go ahead, hit me. And then Dwight comes up to him and then kicks him with his chin. He said, if you wanted somebody to fight fair, you shouldn't have picked me.
Oh, that's great.
He said a seventh grade cup, though, still fits.
Oh, it still fits. I don't know if that's good or bad.
It's bad.
Yeah, it is. All right, we're going to take a break. Come right back with some Boston sports talk. We are back on the Sports and Shit podcast and ready to talk some Boston sports. Julian Edelman recently retired from the NFL. From the New England Patriots. They released him, and then he was able to retire and get some money.
Yeah, due to the release, the Patriots actually, by releasing him, did him a solid kind of, because then he was able to qualify for the injury disability benefit, which I guess gives him like a couple $1 million.
It does, yeah.
That was a nice little parting gift, I guess, on the way out of town there by the Patriots.
There's a lot of talk recently about Julian Edelman and whether or not he is Hall of Fame worthy, the NFL Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame, rather.
Right.
I am a no. And here's why I'm a no. His numbers just aren't. See, I'm always been a Hall of Fame guy that's top of the elite. I don't really go for the, you know, the Hall of Very, Very Good.
I'm 100% with you.
I'm into that in any sport. Like, I think there's too many people in all of the Halls of Fame.
I 100% agree.
I think Craig Biggio in baseball, I went to that induction because it was Pedro Martinez.
Yeah.
Craig Biggio, not a Hall of Famer. Had 3,000 hits, had tons of longevity, was a good player, not a Hall of Famer. So he gets to those benchmarks, though, he becomes a Hall of Famer. Now, with Julian Edelman, I just don't think that the numbers are there. Now, great postseason performer. He won 3 rings. He had big catches. He had big moments.
He was Super Bowl MVP.
Super Bowl MVP. But I think the whole body of work was not enough for me to get him to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, I love him. I love the Patriots. I'm a big fan. But I think if you think about it rationally, Because we always romanticize about the player, especially when he retires. Like, we want to love him and gush and everything. And I get it. But he's not Hall of Fame worthy, in my opinion. I just don't think he is quite there when it comes to the full body of work.
I would agree with you. And I've gone back and forth on Twitter with some people about this. And all I said was, he deserves to be in the conversation. He deserves to be in the conversation. That's sure. all. I'm not saying that he should get in, because right. honestly, I agree with you. I don't think he should get in.
Right.
But he deserves to have his name brought up to sure. being a possibility to get in. And then all these people are like, well, what about Hines Ward? Sure. Hines Ward was better. Hines Ward deserves to be in too. I'm not saying that Hines Ward shouldn't get in and Edelman should get in.
Right.
You know, or Edelman in, Ward not in. Like, right. I honestly just think he should be in the conversation.
Right.
He's second all time in postseason catches. 3 Super Bowls, Super Bowl MVP, but his regular season numbers are not Hall of Fame worthy.
They're not. You know what? I've heard the comparison to Lynn Swann, which is a pretty good one, because Lynn Swann didn't have a ton. Like, he didn't have huge numbers in regular season. He was remembered for his postseason, his Super Bowl, and he was a elegant player, graceful player, made great catches, all that, on great teams with the Steelers. Lynn Swann's a pretty good comparison. He's in. But I still don't think. I think Wes Welker, if Julian Edelman goes in, Wes Welker should go in. Because Wes Welker's numbers are better.
He just doesn't have the playoff.
He doesn't have the playoff. So yeah. So here's my thing. Like, so how much do you put on postseason, and how much do you put on the whole body of work? Does it? How much does postseason? How much more do you put more on that? So how much more does it?
I put more on it.
I would put more on it, but I still think that, again, the Hall of Fame, in my opinion, is the elite of the elite of the elite.
Yeah.
And I just don't think Julian Edelman, as much as we love him, I just don't think he is one of the greatest receivers of all time.
No, I agree with you. That's what I mean. But his playoff numbers should get him into the conversation, because there's all these guys, like you said, Lynn Swann being one of them, from those Steeler dynasty teams of the 70s that have gotten in. And probably a lot of them shouldn't be in. He should be in the conversation, but it's not that those guys probably shouldn't be in and he shouldn't be in is probably what it should be. But you can't take those guys out now. Are you adding people in that shouldn't be? Like, baseball right. does this. The Veterans Committee puts in guys who really shouldn't be in.
No.
Like you said, it should be the elite of the elite of the elite. Mm. And honestly, I don't even know if there should be, it should be voted on by players and media or whatever. It should kind of be an eye test. You should be able to determine if a guy is a Hall of Famer when his career is over by saying his name, and then it's an immediate yes or no. Tony Dorsett.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Julian Edelman.
No.
No. Tom Brady. Yes. Yep. Peyton Manning. Yes.
Right.
Dan Marino. Yes.
Yes. John Elway. Yes.
Right. So it should be that easy. Like, if you have to hedge for even a second,
then he shouldn't be in.
Then he shouldn't be in.
That's my point, is that that's not the elite of the elite if you have to think about it. Like, it's not, that's just not how it should be. And that's why I don't agree with the whole Veterans Committee thing. Like, he's been up for so many years for the Hall of Fame and he doesn't get in. And then years later, we decide, a Veterans Committee says, you know what, we should put him in. No, if he wasn't automatically in a Hall of Famer, what does 20 years later do?
Yeah, that whole thing drives me insane.
Oh, it's just
like, if you don't get in your first 3 years, then you shouldn't be in.
I totally agree.
There's no waiting 12 years or 15 years. No. And the other thing is, it shouldn't be limited. So, like, if you have a class in 2020 that has 15 Hall of Famers, put them all in.
Put them all in.
If every single one is worthy,
right.
put them all in.
I agree.
Then the next year, if there's nobody, then
don't
it's
put them in.
Nobody.
Right.
Don't just put somebody in because right. you don't have anybody that year.
Yeah, that's, baseball drives me nuts with that. Like, the percentage of this and that. If there's 6 guys and all 6 deserve to be in, and yeah, you're leaving out a guy.
It's because they want a group of people to go to fucking Cooperstown in the middle of July and spend money in town.
Yeah, that's why. That's what it is.
So, like, oh, we got to have a ceremony. Have
somebody.
Yeah, we got to have somebody. So let's put fucking Dick Drago in.
Right, right.
And Scott Cooper, who was a fucking all-star.
Yeah, let's find some missionary.
For the Red Sox when he hit fucking 285.
Right.
You know, but they needed a representative.
Right.
So let's find somebody.
Yeah, I'm not on board. I think Julian Edelman is just a bit outside. It doesn't mean we don't love him. Doesn't mean he was a great Patriot and one of the great Patriots of all time.
Oh, he'll 100% be in the Patriots.
Oh, sure. Right. Automatic. Yeah. Automatic. And I still think Stanley Morgan's the best receiver they ever had. But Julian Edelman's certainly up there. Top five, probably.
Yeah, I mean, the postseason stuff, in my mind, weighs a lot. He made some huge, huge plays in postseason games to win them some championships.
He did.
And that should matter.
It should. Boston Celtics. All of a sudden, here come the Celtics.
Yeah, what are they, won seven in a row now?
They've won like seven in a row. They just beat the Warriors tonight.
Up to fourth, I believe, in the conference.
31-26, I think, now. They seem to be playing better team ball. I think that the trade for Evan Fournier, you know, he's been out, but I think it still was, I think it still sent a message to the team that, okay, we're going to go get a guy. We're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to get rid of Daniel Tice, and we're going to change up the rotation a bit and bring in a guy who's going to get minutes. And they made it a point. I don't know if you saw this. They made it a point, Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge, to say he was going to log a lot of minutes. And it was almost like it was like sending it to the rest of the team, like, this guy's getting a lot of minutes, which means it's coming from somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
they made it a point to say it.
Well, it should come from somebody else because the
right.
bottom half of their roster
is terrible. It's bad. I mean, it's bad. There's like two or three borderline G League players, and there's just not a lot there.
Did you hear what set Jason Tatum into kind of the Eastern Conference Player of the Month or whatever?
Right.
Did you hear this? Like what actually set him off? Perk.
Yeah.
Kendrick Perkins sent out a tweet that said basically he's not playing up to his ability.
Right.
He's better than this. If he wants to be a leader on the team and a superstar in this league,
right.
he needs to play better. And Perk basically called him out, and then Tatum actually called him and they had a conversation.
Is that right?
About it, yeah.
Good.
And, you know, they kind of both gave their perspectives on what's happening. And since then, Tatum's been fantastic.
He's been great.
Maybe they should fire Brad Stevens and hire Perk.
Maybe.
Stevens can't get through to the fucking guy.
No.
But Perkins can tweet, and all of a sudden, you know, Tatum's great. And then the other thing they said, and I don't know if this is true or not. It's been speculated, but his NBA 2K rating went from 90 to 89. And supposedly, among the youngins.
Yeah, well, that matters.
That matters.
It does.
And so his rating dropped around the same time as his Perkins tweet because he hadn't been playing well.
Right.
And I've heard that someone made him aware of that. And between Perkins and the NBA 2K.
Isn't that something?
That's how you have to motivate the players these days.
So here's my problem.
It's not Larry Bird or Michael Jordan motivating themselves or
right.
creating... You know, right. a slight from some team, you know, it's right. my 2K rating is too low.
So here's my problem. If that's the case.
All of it.
Right. If that's the case, here's a guy who you're going to lean on to be a leader of the team and you're a superstar. And he's worried about his 2K rating. That's an issue. I'm sorry, but that is
immaturity. I mean, it's an issue to you and it's an issue to me and probably a lot of fans. But do all the young players feel this way?
Maybe. Maybe.
Like all of them. So like Maybe. if you're in Charlotte or, you know, whatever, right. like if Terry Rozier's thing goes down
right.
or LeBron's rating goes down, like does he even give a shit?
I don't know.
Dame Lillard.
Maybe.
You know, Embiid. Maybe. You wonder Maybe. About like, is that just like a generational thing
Could
now?
Could be.
Like we're just old fucks now.
Maybe. I mean, most of these guys are in their early to mid-20s.
Right.
So they're playing video games.
Yeah.
You know, all the time.
So, right.
And they're playing their own video game.
Right. So they're on the road playing as themselves. And he's like, my rating's 89. This is bullshit. And then he goes out and throws up 53.
Yeah. I think the Celtics are still a really good player away from being a championship contender. I think they may, you know, they'll win a series, maybe. Maybe even win the second series. I don't think they'll win the Eastern Conference. Because I just don't think they have enough push comes to shove. And they still don't play very good defense. They can't get stops. And I don't know if they'll get stops when it really matters in the playoffs. And I think that was a problem at the end of last year, and I think it's a problem now.
Most playoff games turn into half-court games, half-court offense.
Sure.
And their half-court offense isn't very good.
No.
It's
jump shooting.
Yeah.
It's
I mean, a lot of it, and that's a lot of what their problems stem from, is them not even trying to drive the ball into the paint and then kicking it out. They'll run like high screen and roll and then just jack up a three. That's not good offense. You're not going to be able to sustain that in the playoffs against right. good teams, against right. good teams that play good defense.
No, I totally agree. All right, moving to the Red Sox. How good are the Red Sox?
I told you before the season, I thought they were going to sneak into the playoffs.
You know what you did? And I just didn't buy it. And then they went 0-3, and I'm like, this is just confirmed. Like, they're just not that good. But now they've won 10 of 11, and things have been much better.
And they beat some pretty good teams.
And they've beaten good teams. They swept the Rays. They yeah. beat the White Sox today.
They beat Minnesota, who was the Central champ.
They beat Minnesota 4 in a row.
Well, 3 out of 4.
Oh, 3 out of 4. Yeah. Yeah, 3 out of 4 in Minnesota.
In Minnesota, where they've traditionally always struggled.
Yes. Their pitching, their starting pitching has been good. Not long. I mean, they go 5 innings. Their bullpen's been 100% better than it was last year. Your buddy Matt Barnes.
My buddy Matt Barnes has been pitching well.
He has. He's he gave up his first run today, but overall, he's been striking out guys and
yeah.
pitching with assertiveness. And their offense has been battling, which is much better than it was the last year or two. Is that the last year or two, they just didn't seem to battle at the plate.
They seemed to just give up at-bats.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Like, they would get behind, and they would just give up at-bats. It would be 0-2, and they would just take a call third strike down the middle.
Right.
They didn't seem to have any kind of fight at all. And right. this team already has shown, like, they were down in Minnesota. They had 2 hits all day. Then they come up in a big spot, bases loaded. Verdugo has a 10-pitch at-bat, mm-hmm. slaps a double to the opposite field, ties it 3-3. That's
yeah.
just
yeah.
that's just good baseball. They're just battling. The right. at-bats are better. The pitching staff's better. The bullpen's been better. J.D. Martinez has kind of had a turnaround season from mm-hmm. last year.
Yeah.
So a little help with the deadline, maybe. Maybe Sale maybe. Comes back. They could do a little damage.
I mean, there's something there, and I think that they picked up guys who really love to play. I think that's another key. You know, the Red Sox fans are so bent out of shape when they get rid of Jackie Bradley and Andrew Benintendi. Both of them have struggled mightily.
They have.
I'm not even sure Andrew Benintendi will be a serviceable player anymore. He's so screwed up.
The Red Sox fans were sad about those guys leaving. I was not one of them.
I was not one of them.
And you were not either.
No. Yep. No, I just thought that, and I liked Benny when he first came up, but there's something wrong. I don't know if he got too big physically.
He
I
did
think.
Get too big.
And then he lost his swing, and I really don't know if he'll get it back.
He tried to change into a power guy.
He wanted to,
with the launch right. angle and all that crap right. when he was really more, like when he first came up, I think didn't he have like 50 doubles?
He did.
Or 40 doubles? Like when he came up, he was like, he should be. Like Verdugo, he should be Verdugo.
He should be Verdugo.
He should be a 300 hitter that hits like 40 doubles and hits like, you know, 15 to 20 home runs.
Plays good outfield. He plays should be good Verdugo. In fact, Verdugo right now is like Benny was his first year.
Exactly.
He's like him. And Bradley, of course, he's a great defensive player. There's a lot of guys who are better defensive players than offensive players. His offense was just so bad at times that I just think he had one good month every year,
offensively,
and a huge streaky guy. He had a good postseason when he came through against the Astros and when they won the World Series. He had some big hits there for sure, but that doesn't mean you invest long term with him. And right now we're showing he is what he is. So I think that Verdugo is a big upgrade, obviously from Benny. And Kiki Hernandez has been decent in center field, and they've got Hunter Renfro and some guys in there who can hit for some power. I mean, they'll strike out and hit for some power. Marwin Gonzalez has been, he's a good, utility player.
Yeah, he plays
sure.
everywhere.
With some power.
Kike can play multiple positions, so they have a little versatility with that. Can move some guys around.
Yeah, I mean, they all love to play, and I think that's.
And I think they have something to prove too. I think Cora has kind of a little bit of a chip on his shoulder mm-hmm. from the whole suspension, mm-hmm. Not really suspension, but suspension, missing a year and the mm-hmm. whole Astros situation. And mm-hmm. then some of those guys, and the Red Sox had a bad season last year. I mean, the team was terrible. So those guys have something to prove.
They do.
Cora has something to prove. So, everybody has a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. And I think Cora's kind of handling it the right way. At least we'll get a baseball season.
Yeah, and I think Cora in 2019 had a bad year.
He did have a bad year.
So people seem to forget that. He screwed up that season.
Because in spring training,
he fumbled that mightily with the pitching staff and everything.
Oh, they weren't ready to play.
They weren't ready to go.
Coming out the gate. They weren't ready.
And people tend to not remember that.
No, pitches, I think Sale that spring threw like four innings.
He did, yeah.
And then they came out for the season, and all the pitchers weren't ready to pitch. And they got lit up.
They did, because they sat in their laurels like, oh, 2018, we won the World Series. We know what we're doing. We're going to save guys. And they weren't ready to go. Get off to a bad start. Never recovered. So I think Cora does have something to prove there. And they like to play for him. And whatever that means, it's working. They seem to want to play for him. Their pitching needs to hold up. I don't know if it can, because I really don't trust their starting pitching. Eddie Rodriguez has been a good pitcher, but he is injury prone and never been in the greatest shape of his life. Eovaldi is an enigma. At times, he's been good so far, but you never know when it's going to come apart. Sale isn't there.
Correct.
And then you've got guys like Pivetta and Hauk and Richards and these guys who are, you don't know. I mean, they can be good or bad. I mean, they're not totally reliable. They've never shown a track record.
I thought they would sneak in, and I thought that pitching would be decent and their offense would kind of carry them. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. Like you said, their pitching's not great. I mean, it's not great. Their bullpen's much better.
It is much better.
But their starting pitching is not great. So if they can get Sale back and he can give them anything, that will certainly help. And then maybe Tanner Howe comes up and you catch a little lightning in a bottle or something like that.
Yeah, I think it'll be, like you said, I think it'll be a decent summer. All right, Boston Bruins. I'll tell you, they make trades at the deadline that I didn't think they'd make. And I was so down on them. And Don Sweeney and the management.
Yeah, I mean,
they won't do it.
I mean, I had a fuck out of here.
You did.
Was it last week?
You crushed them, or two weeks?
Two weeks ago. And I crushed them.
Crushed them.
Crushed Don Sweeney. And these two trades knocked it out of the fucking park.
Yeah.
I mean, really, they barely gave up anything. They gave up Bjork, a second and a third for a top 4D, starting center on the fourth line, and a second line winger who was an MVP of the league.
Yeah.
Who's an MVP of the league and already has as many goals with the Bruins as he had all year with Buffalo.
But I'll say where you were correct was when you said Don Sweeney has to win the trade.
He does.
He won all these trades.
He did.
So that was correct.
He did well with all these trades, and he deserves credit for that. But let's not give him all the credit, because they were in the position they were in because of him.
Right.
Anyway, they were looking for a winger to play with Krejci for how many years?
Oh,
you
at
know?
Least six.
They were looking for a top 4D because he didn't address it in the offseason.
Right, right.
So he put them in the position to have to knock these out of the park,
right,
or else he should have been fired.
And he also went with young guys in the bottom six,
right,
which was a need for Lazar. So, yeah, all those three needs were created because he didn't do anything to begin with. But he showed some urgency, and obviously management must have said, go do something because we need the playoffs.
We need the playoffs. And the core is this.
Yeah, I mean, this is the
like, Krejci's a UFA. Like
Rask.
Rask is a UFA. Like, this is it.
This is the end.
This is probably it for that group.
This is
like,
the end.
Krejci may not come back. Rask, I mean, who knows? I would take Rask back at the Bruins price. 2-year, $10 million.
I'd take him back at that.
But I'm not giving him anywhere near what he's making now.
No.
Like, I'm not giving him six or seven. No chance. Because he doesn't play as many games. I feel like, I mean, this is the chance to go for it. This is the time. They have to.
They do. I'm with you on Rask. I think that the emergence of Jeremy Swayman is probably throwing a little bit of a wrench in it. I think they'd like to bring Rask back just to give Swayman a little bit more time. They won't bring Halak back.
Because they have
Swayman and Vladar.
Yeah.
They don't need it.
I think they'll kind of ease Swayman in if they can get Rask on a 2-year deal.
Right.
Have Swayman back up. And Rask doesn't play a ton of games anyway.
So
Swayman's going to get,
right,
you know, 25, 30 games each of those years. And then he'll assume the role in a few years, hopefully. From everything he's shown so far, it looks like, you know, looks like that's what'll happen. But you never know. I mean, some goalies come up and are super hot and then flame out. So Blaine Locker and,
right,
know, I mean, there's been guys who have come up and been sensational and then
Mike Moffitt
done nothing.
I think that they may be able to sell it to Rask. To say, hey, you're not going to have as heavy a workload. If you want to come back for 2 years at 10, you and Swayman can split the deal. And that may be pleasing to Rask, because I don't think he wants to play 65 games.
No.
So I think that could be something where they say, okay, Tuukka, you can come back and we'll do two at 10 and we'll have Swayman on cheap money.
Yeah.
You know, in entry level.
When then we can spend some money on the rest of the roster.
Right.
And hopefully it can create, you know, a contender year after year.
Now, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with Taylor Hall and if they'll resign him. I think he has immediately liked it here. I mean, he's even said so.
Mm-hmm.
He does look rejuvenated.
He does.
You can just see when he plays why he's the top pick in the draft. Like, he's just like, his skating is incredible.
Yeah.
He just has skill.
The first game, he looked a little rusty early on, and as the game wore on, he got better. But he still wasn't great in the first game. But as the second game and third game have come on, you can see why. Like, this skating is just incredible. The zone entry. Like, the give-and-go goal with Krejci the other day.
It's just,
like, pass it to the wing, and then he just exploded by the defenseman.
Yeah, goodbye.
And he left him, like, two strides in the dust.
He did. Tipped it home.
Yeah. I mean, beautiful pass by Krejci and tipped it in. It looks like he wants to be here. He said as much. He wants to play a few years here. So if they can get him in and around the Pastrnak, Marchand, Bergeron, like six-ish for a few years.
3 at 18 or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I would 100% do that.
I would.
100% do it.
I would. I think he's definitely the type of guy they need. And especially if Krejci doesn't come back, you need top six guys.
Part of what he loves about the Bruins is the pressure is not on him here. He's not number one the overall guy. Pick, Taylor Hall. He's a second line guy.
Yeah.
You know, there's Marchand, there's Pastrnak, there's Bergeron. He doesn't have to be the guy. He's not going to face the top defensive pair every night.
Right.
That's another thing that's going to open it up for him. I think he'll love the hell out of that, getting the second D pair instead of the first D pair every time.
If I'm Taylor Hall, I sign with Boston because I just, like you said, if he goes somewhere else and is like with Arizona and New Jersey and Buffalo, he was the guy.
Yeah.
So he's with Boston. He's not the guy. And he can just go play.
Yeah.
And I think, and it's a big market, and it's a rabid fan base, and it's an original six. I mean, why, if I'm him, I sign here. Because at the very least, you're going to have Marchand and Pastrnak with you for the next few years.
And he's never.
You're going to have Charlie McAvoy. And you're going to have good players.
Yeah, he's never been on a winner.
No.
He's never been on a team that's won.
He's been on the other side, and it hasn't worked. So I think that it would help his motivation to continue to want to play, and he'd be playing playoff hockey. And I think it's just, if I was him, I would sign, and I would do everything I can to sign.
I mean, I think the Bruins want to see how it goes, and
sure,
you know, the way that it's going right now, it looks like a match made in heaven for both the Bruins and Taylor Hall.
So I would say sign Mike Riley.
Mike Riley.
I can't believe I didn't even know the guy, and now I'm watching him play, and I'm like, this guy's a really good player. Like, it's just, and they get him for a third round pick.
That could be in the realm of like the Dennis Seidenberg kind of steal.
Yeah, it's a steal. It really is.
Because he without a doubt, is a top 4 D man.
He is.
On the Bruins. I mean, around the league, maybe he's 4 or 5-ish. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Boy, I don't know because he already looks like
but he's playing,
night and day better than
but
what
he's
they
playing
have.
Well, and he's great 5-on-5. Like, he's made some unbelievable like stretch passes already that like tape to tape.
And he gets the puck on net.
Did you see the stat?
78% of his shots get on net.
He's 13% better than anyone on the Bruins already.
Already.
Grizzlick was second at 65.
Yeah. He's at 78.
78.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's fluid. He makes tape passes.
Yeah.
I put him with McAvoy and put Grizzlick with Carlo, and you get your top four for the next 3 or 4 years. There it is. Bang. You know, I still think that there's a couple of teams out there, Tampa and maybe even Toronto, who will be difficult to beat still. But
I mean, Washington.
But they're more of a contender.
Washington, New Jersey. I mean, the teams within their division. New Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, the Islanders. Yeah, yeah. The teams within their division that will give them problems. I mean,
sure.
they've traditionally struggled against Washington. They've struggled against the Islanders this year, prior to the last couple games. So, Pittsburgh's
They look
good. So the Rangers are coming on strong, too. So it's possible they sneak in. Since Panarin came back, they've been really good. Adam Fox has like 40 points or something.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Really good.
Yeah, he is.
It'll be a tough road, but I definitely like the direction they're headed.
Well, I do too. And I think they're more of a contender now, which is what we want. All right, it's time to trend. Let's do it. That's when
she said she was trending. Like she knew the plan. The number one trend on Twitter is Snoop Dogg.
Really? Snoop is trending tonight.
He is.
on the Twitter. Yeah? What's going on with Snoop?
So viewers are sharing their thoughts as rapper Snoop Dogg hosts, commentates, and performs during the Triller Fight Club event, which is...
What is Triller?
I have...
And this is Triller.
What is Triller, I think, is some kind of app that I've been getting.
I've been getting that too. Yeah. Is it like an adult sort of app? It seemed it a little adultish when I got the thing, the preview, whatever it is, the pop-up, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah,
Snoop. Yeah. Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Yeah, so Snoop is commentating on this.
Okay.
Probably high as fuck.
Smoking a lot of weed, is he?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably smoking a little bit of the ganj.
The ganj.
Yeah, the Chronic.
Oh, the Chronic.
What a great album.
Oh, that was a great album.
Great, great album. Yeah. So the number two trend on Twitter is baseball.
Baseball's trending.
This week in baseball. And specifically Mookie.
Mookie Betts is trending. Did you see he struck out against a position player the other night?
I didn't see that.
Yes. I think Cronenworth. Was it Cronenworth for the Padres was pitching?
Really?
He struck out Betts.
Why was Cronenworth pitching? Was it extra innings?
I think it was extra innings.
Because I watched that game, actually.
The Padres tied it late.
It was a great game. Hosmer. It went back and forth, and then Hosmer tied it late, and then they went into extras. Both teams had chances in the ninth.
Yeah.
No one could score. And then in the 10th, Tatis was up, bases loaded, and struck out on a slider looking.
Okay.
And then I went to bed.
Yeah, Cronenworth was in there. I know he was, so I think he pitched to Betts and struck him out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the number three trend is... Steph Curry.
Steph Curry's trending tonight.
Because he explodes for a game high. He had 47.
Did he have 47?
Tonight against the Celtics. But they lost.
Yeah. Celtics won by five.
Tonight. Celtics won by five, yeah. And along with Steph, Draymond Green trending.
Our buddy Draymond.
Draymond. Nutshot Green. And then the Celtics are also trending along with Steph and Draymond because they actually won the fucking game.
Yeah.
So bleed green and fuck all you,
Bay Area
assholes.
You know, what is your take on quickly on Isaiah Thomas? There's been rumors that the Celtics may be interested in bringing him back. What's your take?
No.
Okay, me too. Zero. No, I don't have any inclination. I don't have any aspiration to see Isaiah Thomas on the team again.
So this is this was a little tweet thing that happened. I don't know if it was earlier today or yesterday, the day before,
Whatever. Yesterday.
But we were talking about little guards,
mm-hmm.
and I said that the only little guard that I would want right now, at this time, this day, is Allen Iverson.
Right now.
Yeah.
Allen Iverson.
As a 50 something whatever year old he is.
I'd take him over
Thomas. Allen Iverson over any other small guard.
Right.
At this moment in time.
Yes. Because they just don't win in the end.
You can't win with small guys. No. Especially, they already suck defensively.
They do.
Why are you going to bring in another guard that can't play defense?
Yeah. Kemba can't play defense right now.
No.
And he's small. So you can't, Isaiah Thomas, I look, there's this infatuation and there's, again, romanticizing. Celtics fans do this more than any other fan base in New England. Is this romanticizing, first of all, they love their players. And then they romanticize about the former players. Bring Avery Bradley back. Bring Isaiah Thomas back. Isaiah Thomas is like 3 years removed from being any good. He has been on several teams since and hasn't been able to crack any type of rotation from anybody. And he's had hip surgery. He's a shell of his former self. And here's the thing. They talk about veteran leadership. Let's bring back Isaiah. He can really talk. What has Isaiah Thomas ever done that would give you any inclination that he would be a mentor type to anybody?
Nothing.
I don't remember him.
I mean,
I remember him being a ball dominant guard who shot the ball a ton. I don't remember him being a guy that grabbed guys was like, hey, let's get it together. I don't remember that at all about him.
No, I don't remember that. I mean, like the romanticizing thing, like I get it. I mean, the team wasn't very good and he made them worth watching.
Yeah,
and
sure.
He had the great game. you know, after at what was it, his sister passed away.
His sister passed away that day,
and he played that night, and yes. he bawled out, and he was yes. tremendous, and it was a great night.
No, it was sister's birthday.
Sister's birthday. Right. Right. So she passed, and then on her right. birthday,
right.
he had like an unbelievable
53
game.
Points. Right. I was there that
yeah.
night. Yeah.
So yeah, I understand like that, and it is romantic, and it is, and it's nice, and it's yeah. It's a great moment.
Oh, it just
and you can remember the great moments.
Sure.
Like. It's yeah. That's a great memory.
Right.
Let's just leave it at that. You don't want right. to watch him go out there now and get yeah. dunked on by some guy that's yeah. fucking 3 feet taller than
right.
him.
Right.
You know?
That's like the old saying. The old saying when you remember the old girl and you're like, it's great to think about the old memories. Doesn't mean you want her back.
right?
Right? I mean, and that's the same sort of thing.
Right.
Like, you can have the old memories.
Yeah.
You can think about it all the time. You can imagine it in the dark in your room, but you don't want her back.
No.
So that's the same thing with Isaiah Thomas. Yeah. Like, we get it, dude. So, I, you know, there it is.
Okay, so the number four trend is MMA UFC Vegas 24.
I don't watch a lick of either of it.
So and it's a fight night. Robert Whittaker takes on Kelvin Gastelum.
Okay.
And I do not know anything about MMA.
I don't either.
So the only thing I know about MMA is Conor McGregor.
Okay.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah, he's okay. the guy who does that walk thing.
yeah, right. He does the strut.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wee lad.
From
Ireland.
Didn't Floyd Mayweather knock his ass off?
I mean, I think they did like a
boxing thing.
Yeah, they wouldn't let McGregor do the MMA stuff.
All right. So like just a boxing.
Just match. Boxing. So like, of course he's going to get his ass kicked.
You can't walk into Floyd Mayweather.
No. Right. So yeah, I don't know anything. I don't know any other
we
MMA.
Should get an MMA UFC type of guy on talk about it.
I know they have
educate
like,
me.
I know they have like cauliflower ear and that shit.
They
though.
Do. They do. They yeah. get the shit knocked out of their ears,
and they use like
drop toe holes.
Well, no, but like gloves that are like hard.
Yeah,
they don't
yeah.
use like boxing gloves.
No, they're hard gloves.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, thanks.
No, I'm not into pain, and I'm not into like guys fighting bare knuckle and stuff. Come on, dude. Like, knock it off. I don't know. Can you stop doing that?
Grow up a little bit.
God almighty.
The number five trend, and this is the last one we'll do. We'll do top five. It's a sports trend, and it is red catch. So REDKACH.
Okay.
And this is also has something to do, I guess, with the Triller Fight Club.
Okay, Triller Fight Club. Result.
It is a result. Okay. Regis Prograis defeated Ivan Redkrach via technical decision. An odd end to the fighter after Redkrach got stretchered out after a punch.
Jesus, I mean, what has to go through your head? Like, what do you do pre-fight? Like, we talked to Chris Nyland last week about fighting.
Yeah.
And remember he said, like, he'd get nervous, like, before the game. Like, he'd have to, like, he'd get, like, nervous. And he'd get like anxious because he knew he'd probably fight or he'd get into physicality.
Yeah.
Like, what goes through your head when you're about to go into an MMA fight where you're fighting like bare knuckled and someone could literally get you in a hold that blocks the oxygen from your head and die? Like, what, how do you prepare for something like that?
If it was me and, you know, it's me right now. Probably like booze and prayer.
He'd sit down. I'd be like, he'd be one with God.
Well, I mean, I'm not a religious man. I'm not a religious man, right. But I would be praying to the Lord.
Yeah.
Please do not let this guy snap my arm in half.
Right.
And then give me all the booze.
Right.
All of the booze.
Who was the guy we were just talking about earlier in the news that ran? Who's that guy who just ran out the door?
It was the guy who administered the second shot of the wrong vaccine.
Right, the wrong vaccine.
Yeah.
I'd be that guy. I'd be running out of the octagon.
You'd be wrong vaccine guy?
Yeah, I'd be the guy. Remember the guy in the boxing match that walked in and they were walking toward each other and he turned out and he walked out of the ring and walked down the aisle back to the locker room? That would be me.
Let's
like,
get ready to rumble. Like,
no,
hey,
thanks.
Wait, where are you going?
Right. Michael, hey, I'm not going to do this
come
tonight.
Come back here.
Yeah. Sorry, Michael Buffer. Not tonight. Yeah, see, I have no desire to get my balls beat in, my ears turned into cauliflowers, any of that.
No. I mean, those guys, after a match, you see them, they're like, their eyes can barely open and their face is all cut up and there's blood all over them. I mean, there's blood, the other guy's blood. I mean,
we get up after a night of playing basketball. We get up the next morning and we can't move. Can you imagine being in an MMA fight and getting up the next morning? Oh, my Lord.
I don't think I would get up.
Oh, my God. I mean, it just must be the worst. But. All right. So let's do it.
It's a tough life. But it is. Glad somebody else is living it.
We're going to get an MMA guy on just to ask these hard-hitting questions.
Yeah.
Like, what goes through your head to be such a lunatic to want to get your ears torn off your body and fed to you? Tell me what goes through your head. All right, that's the end of it. Episode 15, well done. Next week, potentially.
Next week's going to be a good week. We'll leave it at that. It's going to be a good week.
It really is.
If everything breaks the right way and we are not lonely boys again.
Right.
Yeah, could be a real good week.
Yeah, absolutely.
I suggest everyone, I mean, listen to this one for sure.
Yes.
But next week, listen.
Oh, boy.
Listen even harder.
Yes. Yes. Put your ear to the friggin' phone.
Yeah. Listen even more intently.
Focus. All right. That'll do it. Episode 15. Thanks for listening to the Sportsmanship Podcast. We will see you again next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. Bye.
'Cause be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You could beat the world. You could beat the war. You could talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up. You can beat the clock. Yeah. You can move a mountain. You can break rocks. You could be a master. Don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself. Standing in the